Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. A lot to share today. As a result, I'm not going to go into great depth on any of the health nutrition information. However, by going to prn.live, scrolling down to the archives, and then the Gary Nall, all of my show notes are there. So you'll see all the background on each one of these topics. For example, from Aarhus University in Denmark, fermented red clover extract stops menopausal hot flashes and symptoms. Now, the vast majority of women in the menopausal stage of life, that could be anywhere from, let's say, 44 to 55, are familiar with the status of red clover as an herbal medicine that soothes hot flashes, symptoms, and hormonal fluctuations. This holds true, new research shows, if the red clover is taken in a fermented form. That's the key, fermented red clover. So fermented red clover extract is demonstrated to decrease significantly both the number and severity of daily hot flashes. And again, in the footnotes, I show you all the peer-reviewed journals, how many people were in the study, etc. Now our second study comes from Oregon State University. Resveratrol, quercetin together could provide a new option for cancer therapy. Resveratrol and quercetin, two polyphenols that have been widely studied for their health properties, may soon become the basis of an important new advance in cancer treatment, primarily by improving the efficacy and potential use of an existing chemotherapy cancer drug. And that's what's important. Now, I don't tell people what kind of therapy they should receive, either alternative therapy or mainstream therapy, but here they're using both together. The resveratrol and quercetin then appear to reduce the cardiac toxicity of a very widely used cancer drug, adriamycin. So that's good. Again, 99% of all people that I've ever met or physicians I've spoken with, they go to orthodox medicine to begin their cancer therapy. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work. We have over 550,000 people dying each year from cancer. Now, about half of those are dying from the therapy itself because radiation and chemotherapy are both carcinogenic. So building up the immune system and helping a person such as this is doing lowers your risk of dying of heart attacks in the process. Also, from the Medical University of Lodz in Poland, and as well as Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, a new study. And this study, and it's the world's largest study, shows the more you walk, the lower your risk of death, even if you walk fewer than 5,000 steps a day. I try to see that somewhere between 15 and 20,000 steps a day is what I walk. And a lot of those I'll walk fast. So that gives you extra benefit. So this is the largest study. It was from the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, found that walking at least 3,967, let's just say 4,000 steps a day, started to reduce the risk of dying from any cause, and 2,337 steps a day reduce the risk of dying from diseases of the heart and blood vessels, your cardiovascular disease. However, the analysis of 226,000 people from 17 different studies around the world shows that the more you walk, the greater the health benefits. So try just to walk, and walk fast whenever possible, and always try to walk after a meal if you can, because it helps break down the blood sugar and lowers the glycemic index. Now, from the University of Cambridge in the United Kingdom, brains of overweight people, listen carefully, if you're overweight, just overweight, not even obese, they're 10 years older than lean counterparts at middle age. So from the middle age, let's say 35 to 40, the brain of overweight and obese individuals displays differences in white matter similar to those in lean individuals 10 years their senior. So it's just letting you know, if you're overweight, by middle age, your brain is going to age 10 years beyond that. That's not good, because all of our organs should age about the same time, but because if we smoke or drink or eat sugar or stressed or overweight, all of our different organs age at a different time. Also, from the University of Connecticut, soy protein found to deplete testosterone in men. So you don't want a lot of soy in the diet. Some soy products that are fermented, like miso, tempeh, and tofu, those are fine. Make sure they're organic, but don't have them every day. All right? And this was published in the Journal of the American College of Nutrition. And it was a randomized, placebo-controlled crossover study that looked at how soy supplementation affects testosterone, cortisol, and sex hormone-binding globulin levels in men who engage in resistant exercise and training. Because a lot of powerlifters, a lot of athletes, want to get extra protein into the body, and so they take these protein powders, and frequently they're made of soy. I wouldn't use soy in a protein powder. I would use brown rice, hemp, split pea. Those are all better. From Yale University, a study shows endometriosis is linked to higher risk of depression, anxiety, and eating disorders. I'm sure you already know, but endometriosis is not just a condition that affects the pelvis, but a systemic disease that involves the entire body. Now, the largest epidemiological study to date on the psychiatric factors that can accompany endometriosis has demonstrated that depression, anxiety, and eating disorders are not only a result of chronic pain in endometriosis that it generates, but also in their own underlying genetic mechanisms. This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Network Open. That's one of the reasons that if you do have endometriosis, in fact, I did a class on the air on this just last week. It's there. Go to Gary Knoll YouTube and look under Classrooms on the Air, and you'll find this. So you don't want endometriosis. You know, you're going to have things such as abdominal and low back pain, heavy bleeding, painful sexual intercourse, painful urination and bowel movements, constipation, diarrhea, bloating, nausea, fatigue, and infertility. This new study, the Yale U research team obtained data from around the world, and they found that when you have this, you also are more likely to have depression, anxiety, and eating disorders. So here's the issue. Did your depression and anxiety and eating disorder contribute to endometriosis? Or because of having the pain and of endometriosis and the side effects, did that precipitate depression? That still remains to be seen. Now, that's the latest on health and healing. And again, go to prn.live, scroll down to our archives, and then the footnotes. And I have all types of articles supporting everything I say each day posted there. We're going to take a break, come right back, because we have a power-packed program for you today, including some exclusive information that can make a difference in your life. Don't forget, you can go to GaryKnoll.com anytime, 24/7, and you have a plethora of positive information that you can use, if you choose, in living a longer and healthier and happier life. Back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. I believe that we can now fairly realistically take a look and do it dispassionately. Just be objective. Don't do it based upon your ideology or your religious beliefs or your political beliefs. Just look at the facts of what we're seeing happening now. They want to mandate the vaccine, even though the vaccine has been completely discredited for COVID. They want to give us identity cards. They want us to have no cash, and therefore we would have to use their card. They want to put a chip under our skin, and they've talked about it. Klaus Martin has said it. He also wants to put a chip in our brain. And Dr. Harari says that we are functionally worthless and useless eaters. They want to control us. They want 15-minute cities. They want smart grids. They want smart cities. Every single part of life they want to do this to, and they want to give a guaranteed income. And for a lot of people, $2,000 a month, more or less, guaranteed, and you don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. And because automation, transhumanism, and artificial intelligence is going to do almost everything that we would otherwise have most jobs do. They just want you to obey, not to complain. They'll put you into a soma state, and they've been wrong about everything up to this point, except they have absolute control. You're probably thinking, Gary, look, I can go out and do anything I want today. You know, even if it's not legal in some states, you know, I can go shoplift and no one's going to arrest me. I could do that 100 times. There's one guy in New York City shoplifted over 100 times, was caught, arrested, let right out. So I can go into someone's home while they're at work and change the locks and then demand squatter's rights. In some states, it might take 1 to 2 years before you got your home back, and you would still have to pay taxes and mortgages, can't turn off the water. Yeah, think that's stupid? I mean, let that happen to the politicians who voted that law in. Let their neighborhoods be the ones so they can't even go into their Beverly Hills or, you know, their high-end exclusive neighborhoods homes because there's thousands of squatters outside where they can't go for a walk, can't let their children go out. When that happens to them, then we've got their attention. Until such time, we have a really stratified society. Those who create the laws and the rules or the opinions, they're immune from everything that we, the average people, have to face and adapt to, transform, or maladapt. So now I'm going to play you a tape. This is an interview with Joe Rogan, with a broad podcaster who has a very popular show. He does a very good show, by the way. I think I disagree on some issues, but boy, did he nail this. So this information you need to hear and be aware of, because in 1993, 92, people thought, well, I can buy any supplement in any amount I want. Yes. But then behind the scenes, the pharmaceutical industry and governmental agencies like the FDA wanted to ban the sale of all supplements except by a tiny amount, like 1 milligram, worthless, of B1 and a little over 2 of B2 and a tiny amount of vitamin C, unless you had a prescription. So then you could go to a doctor, get a prescription, go to a pharmacist and have that vitamin 20 milligrams of zinc filled, and it cost you around $60. Now, you don't have to do that. But people took it for granted. And a small group of us, and I mean a small group, like 10 of us, went around the United States. I went to 57 cities and went on the media and talked about, we've got to stop this. And I got some legislators, Senator Proxmire, Senator Rogers, and others on our side. And then they voted down the FDA so that we have what was called the DeShays Amendment from then till now. But now they want to do it all over again, as if that law was never passed. That's the pharmaceutical industry. They want to control your health. They want to control what you eat. They don't want you eating, you know, stuff from your local farm, organic produce. They want you to eat what they're growing and what therefore they control. So they want to control the money, what you can buy and not. And if they don't like what you're buying, your accounts are frozen. If you write something, say something, read something, they want to control you. They want to mandate the vaccines. Right now there's about 200 vaccines in the pipeline, and they're not making those with the expectation of having them not used. They want the World Health Organization to dictate everything coming to your health in a treaty. And yet the average person's unaware of it, and even those who are aware don't seem to care. So whether you care or not, I'm going to present information to show you just how controlled your world is, how little freedom of speech you have, how they're using the phenomena of the idiotic, the woke, the identity politic, and the critical race theory as ways of making you feel that you're unworthy even be alive. How dare you ask a question? Yeah, that's the world we live in today. And by the way, if you say, yeah, but we need another Obama or another Clinton or another... Okay, tell me which president of the United States and which Congress voted to stop all exporting of jobs out of the United States. How about none? Tell me which presidents then funded and supplied subsidies to the most polluting industries and the most corrupt industries, big pharma and the banking industry. Which one stopped that? None. Which one enabled it? Everyone, Republican or Democrat. Which corporation has your interest at stake? None. Everything looks at you as a commodity. And you only have value when you can support them financially. They don't want you to have a house or a car. You won't need those. And their new fourth industrial revolution. So this may sound crazy to you. Listen carefully. Everything he is saying is absolutely correct. Whether you act upon it or not, that's on you. Let's go now to this 10-minute clip from the Joe Rogan show.
How much, Joe, have you looked at, Larry Fink, Soros, State Street, Vanguard, BlackRock? How much have you looked at what they're doing and what their ties are?
I've looked at it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're pretty much running everything.
Yeah.
S&P 500, the number that 88% of the companies on S&P 500, 88% of them, the largest shareholder of those companies is either State Street, BlackRock, or Vanguard. 88% of them, okay? And then you see their influence in defense contracts, okay? So we went through a deal. I'm like, let me see if these guys, ESG, Larry Fink, Vanguard, State Street, if they have any influence on military contract, defense contract. If you Google the largest shareholder for Raytheon, three out of the four top shareholders of Raytheon, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. It could be top three with Raytheon, but I think it's three out of four. If you go look up General Dynamics, if you go look up Boeing, if you go look up, Northrop Grumman, okay? And then you work backwards and you say, okay, how much money is that in what these guys are doing? You'll find the amount of money we spent in our military, $744 billion on how much we're making from defense. But you'll see some numbers saying last year it's 13% of our GDP, which is around $850 billion. That's more than the next 10 combined. We gave more money to Ukraine than Russia spent on their military last year. And when you look at these contracts, then you're like, okay, Fink is there. These guys are there. Okay, let's go look at Hollywood. Same thing you see there. Let's go look at pharmaceutical. Let's go look at this. And you're like, wait a minute. These guys essentially have a monopoly. Well, how big is BlackRock? $10 trillion. How big is $10 trillion? Only two countries have a bigger GDP than what BlackRock has, assets under management, U.S. and China. That's how big BlackRock is. So then they went and they started getting all these other guys to sign on and say, hey, we want you to participate with the same thing as well with ESG. And they ended up having, I think they had 31 signers. I think end of 2022, they got 60-something signers for a total of $70 trillion of assets under management that they're controlling. So now they're controlling other places. And just recently, if you saw the rebuilding of Ukraine, did you see this contract? Rebuilding of Ukraine, $400 billion contract. BlackRock and Chase is helping rebuild Ukraine. And then, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but what the hell is going on here? They have that much control to get everybody to do what they want them to do? Yes. So Dylan Mulvaney, who cares? Why? Bud Light. How does that tie up? You got the DEI, the HRC, the human rights, and all this stuff. And then you go even deeper, which is even the crazier part, with the education, schools, the biggest union we have in America. I think it's National Education something. NEA is the largest union we have. 3 million teachers are part of that union. And you look at that and you go deeper in that with open society and who's funding it, who's the money behind these organizations. Comes back, Soros, Soros, Soros. How do you feel about the kind of power they have right now to fight against them? Because this isn't like a billionaire can come out and say, I'm going to go up against these guys. They don't have a little bit of money. A billionaire to these guys is nothing. They got the kind of control that can make companies fire boards. They can replace CEOs. They can replace leaders if they don't like. They have their hands so much into it where many times when people say they, the people of power, the people of power, I'm kind of like, who are the people of power? Are you convinced these guys are really running the world? Or what do you think about what some of these bigger companies are doing, like State Street, Vanguard, and BlackRock?
Well, they certainly have massive amounts of influence. What do you think they're doing?
It's the question is, how do you fight it? Like, for example, the way we fight mainstream is by what? The show that we do. and we have to be patient. It's going to take 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years. Now you have some influence, right? Okay, we can fight. There is an actual strategy on how to fight that. No problem. You got a kid in school who's a bully. He's bigger than you. He keeps bullying you. You have a strategy on how to beat the guy. You take a year, jiu-jitsu 2 years, this, that. Boom. One fight, he knows, I'm never going to touch Joe again. Screw this thing. I'm not doing this no more, right? There is a play to it. When you have this much, Joe, 88% of S&P 500 companies, that is a form of a monopoly. If I'm a president, whether it's a Trump or whoever else goes out there and does it, our monopoly law in America is 50%. They say 50%. Like if you tie and said, at what point is it 50%? I've done calls with the FTC. Like we had one of our guys' technology we were using. The FTC called and said, hey, we want to have a call with you because they're thinking about buying this other technology company and we're worried it's going to be a monopoly. So we had the call, okay? At the end of the call with us, with a bunch of different people, we said, we love their product, we love their product. That deal didn't end up happening, okay? The monopoly law. Some of these guys are influencing it. But they say 50% is a monopoly law. Do you know how many people in America have an iPhone versus Droid? You know what the numbers, market shares in America with iPhones?
I think it's like 60.
58%, 60%. Yeah. That is already a monopoly. But who's knocking on the door of Apple? Tim Cook saying, hey, Tim, you got 58%. That's breaking a monopoly law. Nobody is. I think someone's got to break apart. You know, in 1993, I don't know which senator it was. These guys that were trying to get the defense contractors to be better at the pricing, what they were charging, because they were overcharging DOD, and DOD people don't know what the hell is going on. They're like, yeah, okay, how much? $68 million, do it. $1.2 billion, do it. I'm not going to over-negotiate the money. They took 51 defense companies, and they brought it down to only five. It's only five companies right now when you want to buy anything. Think about that. So defense contractors is five. We know how these guys make money. Earlier, you know, I was asking you a question. Why do you think vaccine? And you're like, Pat, that's how they make their money, right? I mean, if you and I run a hotel, rooms are empty. We're not making money. We need people to stay in the rooms. If you and I are running a hospital, we need people on the beds to make money.
Yeah.
If there's no people on the beds, we ain't making money. If these five contractors are fighting for $744 billion, what do they want more of? Wars. They want more people dying. You know the Papa John's saying, better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys is more wars, more people dying, more profits, defense contractors, right? That's a valid concern that I have. Because behind closed doors, this whole military-industrial complex, when you look at the numbers, whoever becomes the president, unfortunately, this guy's an anti-establishment president, good. Unfortunately, if you're an anti-establishment president, everyone's going to come after you, especially these military defense contractors. So if a president got up and said, if I'm going to be the president, here's what we're going to be doing. We have to look at all the contracts. You can't overcharge us. We have to open it up. You have to sell some of your companies. You have to let them be independent again. You have to do this. You have to let them go public, separate, whatever way you got to break them apart to have competition again, because we don't have that today. You know, so that is a major concern where we say we have a commander-in-chief, but really the commander-in-chief is Larry Fink today. The guy running BlackRock is really the president of the United States, if we look at the kind of influence he's got in every industry, Joe. And he's like, well, you know, I kind of feel bad. I'm ashamed that all the weaponization, the word, you know, ESG is being used and all this other stuff. And Elon tweeted about the ESG. I don't know if you remember when Elon tweeted about ESG, saying the S in ESG is satanic. Okay. So this is a part where even a Charlie Munger, who is Warren Buffett's partner, says, look, I love Larry Fink, but I'm not interested in having an emperor. Some words like that he said about Larry Fink. So this motive, and by the way, Larry Fink is an interesting guy because he majored in college political science. His aspirations was politics. He accidentally got into money and he learned a trade, and then he lost $100 million at 36 years old, I think. And then he teams up with Schwartzman and they start this company. And after a couple of years, they got $5 billion under management, $8 billion and $32 billion. And then they have a difference because, you know, he wants to give equity and Jamie's, you know, Schwartzman's like, no, and then they separate. But influence of politics, you get into business, you're a billionaire. It's you, Soros. So I'm I'm extremely concerned about what these guys are up to. And we think our president is the most powerful person. That person is not. Because behind closed doors, they're going to be like, look, guys, let's relax. That guy's only going to be there for 4 to 8 years. We're going to be all right. He'll be out. We're running the world. We're okay. We were running America, but now we're running the world. We control all the ETFs in America. We're controlling all this stuff. Everyone has to come through us, and we can tell everybody what to do because everybody fears not getting money from us, from being downgraded. A Tesla on ESG score is nothing, but a Philip Morris gets an A rating. How the hell the company that's Philip Morris has a better environmental social governance score, DEI, you know, not DEI, but the CEI, the score they give it over Tesla. So they can bully some of these guys. Now, Elon is vocal. Elon can stand up. Elon's not the guy that can be bullied. But some of these other guys that don't have 150 million followers and they don't own a company called Twitter, they may be billionaires. They may be $50 million guys, CEOs. But they got to sit there and say, babe, if you say something, you're going to lose your $26 million a year salary. Just do what Larry tells you to do. Imagine if you had control of 88% of CEOs of S&P 500 companies. What kind of influence do you have? So to me, as a person, when I asked you earlier, what are your top five things you would want somebody to run on? I think somebody's got to figure out a way to break those companies apart.
Just let me summarize what he's saying. Five corporations, State Street, Berkshire Hathaway, Fidelity, and then most important, Vanguard and BlackRock, they control the entire world. There's no one on the planet more powerful. And those who have power, like the Pope, won't use it because everything is political. So they're going after everything that you have, including your freedom of choice, your speech, your own body. And unless you do something, they'll win because every corporation is beholden to them. They can control any corporation in the world. They can reach in and fire someone who's an activist who wants to change. And that's why you don't have a single network television show, not the punks over at some of these networks, certainly not PBS. You're never going to see the truth there, or on NPR. You don't have a program dedicated just to people who had death proven from the vaccines, a whole program on it. No, that would be showing some truth. Those doors stay shut, hermetically sealed. But they're the media, yes, controlled, totally. So if you would like to comment on this, please do. Give us a call at 888-874-4888. Now, let's go to another clip. This is a clip about the only drug that has been used in hospitals. When you go in, and this is what you're given, and this is a drug from Anthony Fauci. It's never been tested on SARS-CoV. It was tested on Ebola in Africa, and over 50% of the patients who received it died. It causes kidney failure. It causes all forms of problems in the body, organ collapse. And yet today, this is what you get. And the hospitals get a 20% bonus if they prescribe this. You talk about a pay to play. This is it. Corrupt to the hilt. But here's the truth that you weren't told. And this could save your life. If you go into a hospital and say no to remdesivir.
Cover up and corruption is insane. Anthony Fauci is one of the biggest liars in the planet. And I didn't know who he was. May 2020, he declared in a memo on NIH.gov that there is one drug and one drug only that we're going to allow all hospitalized Americans to be treated with for COVID-19. They gave that drug to Ebola patients. Anthony Fauci was the only one that funded the entire study in Africa. So he knew this data. They found that it was the only drug in that one-year study that had an over 50% death rate of all the innocent Africans they gave that drug to in that experimental trial. Anthony Fauci declared in May of 2020 that in that Ebola trial, it was found to be the most safe and effective drug against the Ebola virus. That's what he said. I just happened to read the memo. And then I clicked the hyperlink to go read the study, only to find out it was actually found to be the least effective and the most dangerous. I knew right away from the Gilead study conducted 2 months earlier that the entire kidney failure, multiple organ failure, was a result of remdesivir and had nothing to do with the virus. And that is absolutely true. I said in May of 2020, went into the media, I said, everyone needs to be warned that Anthony Fauci has declared a drug to be the solution to a pandemic for all innocent Americans. He is going to kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of innocent Americans with this drug and this protocol. This protocol was designed, and it is still in place right now as the only drug protocol in hospitals. You know what's amazing? I'm sitting here in front of you guys. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I am the retired chiropractor trying to protect the medical profession. Medical doctors who are trying to use off-label drugs that are way more safe and effective and have been FDA approved for decades, like ivermectin, like hydroxychloroquine, like budesonide. Doctors around this country and including in this state are losing their licenses and having them threatened for using FDA-approved drugs that have been safe and effective for decades. I, as a chiropractor, don't use those drugs, but those save lives and they're proven to. Remdesivir is proven to kill lives. I said since May 2020, remdesivir will result with at least 30% deaths of everyone who receives that drug in a hospital for 5 to 10 days. I got Thomas Renz to pull the CMS data. You know, for the state of New York, I decided to run it in New York. I wanted to know Medicare-aged patients. What's the percentage of death of those who received remdesivir for its five-day protocol? 26.9% of them died. And do you know right now that remdesivir, as of October 2020, was found by the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal that it actually causes death of heart cells and is cardiotoxic and can lead to cardiac arrest? That was in October. December 16th, your FDA, I'm sorry, your NIH with Anthony Fauci there, decided to update now all guidelines for treatment drugs allowed and approved for COVID-19 Americans. Guess what's the only listed drug FDA approved for hospitalized Americans? Remdesivir. When it is published by the World Health Organization to cause increased acute kidney failure compared to all other drugs being used in the world when treating COVID-19. And that was published in April of last year. So you have kidney failure, liver failure, now heart failure being caused by remdesivir, published to do so. 2 months later, your NIH, the FDA, still sits back and goes, this is the only approved drug for hospitalized COVID-19 patients. You know what's more disgusting? January 21st of this year, the FDA extended an emergency use authorization and said there's now only one authorized medication that can be pumped into the veins of all newborns in this country to 18-year-old pediatric age-ranged children, starting with 7-pound newborns. Guess what the only authorized drug to treat COVID-19 children is now? In hospitals and outside. Remdesivir. It says in the document on the EUA, third bullet point on page 8, it says every medical doctor who's going to give remdesivir to a newborn has to tell the parents and the caregivers that there are the other alternative treatment options for COVID-19 for their child. I want you to go further into the document, 3 pages later, under alternative treatments for pediatric age Americans. It says there are no approved authorized alternative treatments for COVID-19 pediatrics, 7-pound newborns to 18-year-old children in America. 43,000 Pennsylvanians have died from COVID. They died from COVID treatment. Peter McCullough just gave us a statistic of like 93% could have been saved. I'm going to tell you right now, 40,000 of them died from the ill-advised hospital protocols in your hospitals. The same hospitals and these protocols that the medical doctors are being threatened with their license if they don't use them. And then you've got the pharmacy board, which you should be calling in here to find out why are they stripping the rights of medical doctors writing off-label, safe and effective, proven medications like Peter McCullough's treatment protocol, like fluvoxamine that Steve Kirsch has helped. Find out why the board, the state pharmacy board, is telling their pharmacist in this state it's okay to deny filling those prescriptions the medical doctors write. It is absolutely absurd. These mandates need to be dropped, and I'm talking about all of them. The masks need to be dropped. The mandates for children need to be dropped in schools. They are ineffective. The children are not at risk. The vaccine mandates need to be dropped. The protocols in hospitals need to be dropped. The CBER and Steve Anderson needs to be contacted. You need to subpoena the CMS data. No one has seen it. CMS right now, and has been, is offering a 20% bonus payout to all hospitals to choose Remdesivir for all Medicare-aged patients, and then they will pay 20% on the entire hospital bill if they just use that one drug with all Medicare-aged patients. It is on CMS.gov's website right now. Chiquita Brooks-Lasore should also be in court. She's the administrator of CMS. Why are they bribing all hospitals in this nation with a 20% bonus payout for the one and only drug supposedly approved by the FDA and recommended by the NIH for COVID-19 treatment in hospitals? Can anyone explain to me why Medicare has to bribe our hospitals to use the only drug they're allowed to use for COVID-19? That's known to cause kidney failure, heart failure, and liver failure. They're being incentivized not only for using Remdesivir in these COVID protocols, hospitals are being paid, not a joke, to PCR test every patient that walks through the door. And the percentages of those that they actually do it for, no matter why you went to the hospital, you could sprain your ankle and walk in there. They're PCR testing everybody to get their numbers up. And then the FDA or the federal government is paying out a bribe every month for the percentages of PCR tests. Then they're being given a 20% bonus for every single, not a joke, every single positive COVID-19 diagnosis they give in the hospital every month. Then there's the 20% incentive for treatment using Remdesivir for the Medicare age group on the entire hospital bill. Then they're incentivized for ventilating. Then they're incentivized even further for every COVID-19 death in the hospital. Upwards of $9,000 a case per month. You tell me why it is administrators of hospitals are holding their doctors accountable to follow these one and only protocols. What are you up against? Let me tell you what you need to do. The chiropractor is going to defend the medical profession. You ready? Please let them practice medicine. Never in the history of the world has there been one protocol for every human. We are all genetically different. Every aspect of our physiology is different. Please put legislation in place, no matter if there's a pandemic, if there's a national emergency declared by Joe Biden. I don't care what it is. Please allow doctors once again to be protected to practice medicine. They're the only ones that know the history of their patients. You cannot tell me there is one drug solution or protocol for every American who gets a respiratory infection right now. It's impossible. And then you're going to hold them, that you're going to take their license from them, destroy their livelihood, and then slander them with their reputation because they're holding to their oath to do no harm and do what they felt empowered their entire life to do, which was to preserve and protect innocent lives.
Now you know something that you didn't know before, and that's where you have a choice. Use it if you're told to and risk dying, or say no and try to find other therapies that are not toxic, but still efficacious. Now, part two of Vandana Shiva, great insights. We're not going to go as long today on that, but at least let's have another booster of someone who's extremely insightful, completely honest, and can inspire us to look deeper into the issues affecting us in our life. By the way, she was being interviewed by Russell Brand. So we thank Russell Brand for being calm for once and not, yes, he's an ex-drug addict and he learned some lessons, but buddy, this hyper-phonetic energy, it's not easy to watch you. It's not easy to listen to you because you talk so fast and you have that Cockney accent. Try calming it down. You were able to do it with Vandana Shiva. Just a suggestion to your, I'm sure your 6.5 million listeners and viewers would be appreciative also.
And you know, for those of you who want to know more about this, do come to Navdanya, where we save seeds and we learn how to do all this. We do a whole month course of returning to the earth, because that's what we have to do. And the beauty is, returning to the earth is both about a spiritual return home and a material return in an ecological sense, not in a mechanistic sense. So Monsanto wrote the intellectual property agreement. Cargill, who's polluting this river.
Yes,
the river Wye. Those chicken farms, ultimately the chicken is owned by Cargill. and their big shares are in all the chicken companies, the farmer is just a passive instrument in the hands of these corporations. And then the next, how do we make become sick? Because the sickness creators became in charge of health and safety. There's a treaty in WTO called Sanitary and Phytosanitary Agreement. Sure enough to not let you know what it's all about. And this was drafted by Pepsi, Coke, and Nestle. And it was drafted so that all local artisanal food would disappear. And they actually have destroyed, India was a very big economy of artisanal food. They destroyed all our cold press mills, 5 million of them. Every woman used to make pickle and sell it. Pickle's gone from the market, papad's gone from the market, all the snacks gone from the market. And all the junk food is in the most remote part of the Himalaya. So those three treaties were written by these companies. Now where we are is, because when I wrote Oneness versus 1%, I wanted to understand, how does Gates rule the world? How did Bayer buy Monsanto? And then I found that after the 2008 financial crisis, the biggest players are the large investment funds, financial asset funds, called BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. They own every corporation, they control every government, and they decide how. And in fact, the other day, Fink, who's the BlackRock chief,
yes, Larry
sitting,
Fink,
he's sitting there and saying, we have to force behavior. No, Mr. Fink, dictators force behavior. You can't do that. But they've allowed it to be accepted that not only will they control corporations, they'll control governments, they'll control our lives. And that's where festivals like this are so important. Stay free.
She did the goddamn tagline. Cut it, print it. You know, like, often what people ask is, what can I do as an individual? But when you're talking about the World Bank and you're talking about IMF and you're talking about Monsanto and you're talking about Vanguard and Blackguard, you're also talking about the significance of making pickles and artisan economies. Because the thing you can do yourself is the only thing and is the necessary thing. It's not like, oh, no, I can only do these small things. That is the thing. That is the answer. That is ultimately and necessarily the answer.
Not only is it vital, because the only way to create another economy, but it's also necessary, because if each of us does it, I mean, just imagine if this community would go home and say, from today onwards, I will not support the earth destroying, health destroying, farmer destroying food economy. I will support the economy of ecological agriculture, local farms, and healthy food. And I know from farmers around here, they're already doing a lot of this work. But if you reached out to them, or every one of you, wherever you are, reached out to them, and just said two things to yourself: I will grow some of my food if I can. And if I can't, I will find a farmer in my vicinity, or a group of farmers in my vicinity, to take care of the earth, the farmer, and myself. Because the beauty about community is it's both about ultimate freedom of each part of the community, but it is about freedom of the community as an indivisible quality. And we will not have food. You know, the next step of corporate colonization is going to be fake food. Yeah? And that's why there's such a war against the farmers. Because as long as the farmers are there, there'll be food. Destroy the farmers, let the food disappear, and then feed the people. Impossible burger, lab-made bread. And we know processing, ultra-processed food is already responsible for 75% of the disease. Every ingredient made synthetically is what destroys the system. Because everything in nature moves in a circular flow. It comes from nature and goes back to nature. Nature has no pollution, no waste. But nature has no extraction. Nature takes and gives back and takes and gives back and takes and gives back. So for those who want to live outside the nutrition cycle and the food cycle that makes us earth beings, and say, no, we live outside it with food from labs, to me, they are the same mentality of escape from our earth being as the Jeff Bezos and the Elon Musks want to fly to Mars. You know, they want to escape and let the earth, abandon the earth. No, escape is irresponsible. Taking care of the earth at whatever scale you can take care of the earth is your duty. And it begins with agriculture. So the war against farming is a war against the human capacity to take care of the earth. And that's why we must all join in a resistance against fake food and the attack on farmers.
I suppose that gives us an opportunity to redefine what our relationship is with, well, we've come to be regarded as consumers. We're spoken of primarily as consumers. And even when you say that we have individual freedom and choice when it comes to the food we eat, to a degree, of course, that is true. And I love that your suggestion that we must grow our own food, although it's quite hard, isn't it? It's quite hard to grow food. I've got to get better at things like that. The patience, the negotiation with the soil and the seed. I've not been granted those skills. I've not been taught those things. And the necessity to, oh, you do a course.
We do a course.
Is there anything I could say where you won't say, we do a course? There will always be a course. There's a course on Gandhi. There's a course on everything. There's always a course. Thank God we can learn. Thank God we can grow. Thank God I'm not going to be stuck at my present state. Thank God I can move forward. Thank God I don't have to be a consumer forever. Thank God I don't have to be just a cipher for other people's ideas, latched onto this vampiric and parasitic system. Vandana, but what about like, it's very cheap, the mass-produced filthy food. And a lot of people, the food they eat, I believe, is determined by their economic status. I believe that people are trapped in a cycle of poverty and sickness. How do we ensure that good, wholesome food is economically viable? How can we do that? What level of institutional, global, political change is required to make that plausible?
So in nature,
will you stay on the microphone, please? Because I respect you so much, I can't offer you instruction because it's not the dynamic.
No, but
I do need you to
I'm used
to
talking to you and this instrument.
Yeah. You have to, because everyone needs to hear you. Look how patient they are, it's raining and stuff, if I may say.
So in nature, everything eats. You know? The soil organisms are eating and feeding all the time. The mycorrhizal fungi is picking up the nutrients and bringing it to the plant. And the plant is feeding the mycorrhizal fungi. The bee is coming and pollinating the flower, but the flower is feeding the bee. So the symbiosis is going on all the time. In all cultures before colonialism and industrialism, if there was hunger, it passed, it was local, it was limited in time. It was never permanent. What we now have is a structural hunger that doesn't go away. You might have a good rainfall. You might have a very good crop. But as a farmer, you could still be starving. Half the hungry of the world are farmers because they're not growing food. They're growing commodities. They're not growing food that they can eat. They're growing food with huge borrowing for chemical fertilizers, pesticides, seeds. And then they're having to sell what they grow to pay back the debt. And then borrow once more to buy to keep themselves alive. And that's happening even at a country scale.
We're going to take a break because I'd like to hear your input. We've given you a lot of different information now. Give us a call at 888-874-4888. All right? Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'm looking forward to some calls. We have a very large audience of active people. They share their voice against any injustices. So give us a call, because we've laid out a lot of different principles for you today. The danger, the corruption of the only drug that's allowed, yet really good drugs with over 500 different peer-reviewed studies of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, were attacked. But drug that should never be used by anyone at any time, remdesivir, which kills people, that's the only one, and the hospitals get money for that. a hospital can make $100,000 off a patient, even if the patient doesn't have COVID. As long as they take the PCR test, they're liable to have a positive reaction. Now, by the way, I'm editing the hour and 56-minute video I did with the developer, the founder, the Nobel Prize winner, Kerry Mullis, into a 55-minute progressive commentary hour. I'll have that within the next week or two, and you'll see the truth. We had a pandemic, a false positive, fraudulent PCR test, and everything after that was a lie, as you will see, with all the lawsuits and the scientific papers coming up. And we're just sharing it with you. What you do with it is up to you. And by the way, Eutrice Lee will be back today at 5 o'clock. She's been suffering from some pain, and she's getting her therapy for that, physical therapy, over in Florida. But the good news is everything else that she was dealing with, gone. And we're very happy for her. So please tune in at 5 o'clock. She'll be there live, doing her wonderful show as she does every day. I was thinking about this last night when I was thinking about how often do we stop and realize where we're at in our life cycle. And then we think back and we think of the wonderful times we've had or the challenging times and who was in our life and are they there now? Are they gone? Are they dead or gone on to another road in their journey? And then at some point, the older a person gets, more often than not, a person begins to shrink the concept of life itself. They begin to compartmentalize it. Well, I've got this to do today. I've got to take these medicines. I've got to... And suddenly, doctor appointments, their life no longer has that wonderment, that wonderless concept as a child, the innocence to explore other cultures, other menus, other languages. Instead, we kind of inevitably wait for the end. And that's very morbid. That's very dystopian. But now we don't have to. Now for the first time, and I say for the first time, and I'm not the one saying that. It was in a conference call a year ago that one of the most respected Anti-Aging Foundation directors in the world said when he got the results from the university's methylation DNA test, he said, Gary, for the first time ever, you proved that aging can be reversed and adding years onto your life, healthy years. This opens up a whole new door. And now we have a peer-reviewed journal published, accepted, and published on it. I'll post that shortly. But this coming Sunday at 1 o'clock, I'm doing a webinar on this very topic, showing you my newest documentary with the results. So if you want to see real people who made phenomenal changes, just making lifestyle and behavior modification, you're going to see it. And you're going to see this completely documented. 1 o'clock. If you want to join me, call the webinar and see this film and a discussion afterwards and get the latest information on anti-aging. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. I understand we're almost full. If you're a senior citizen, you get a reduced rate. And everybody benefits from this. So you don't want to miss this webinar on slowing down and reversing the aging process. Brand new documentary. Hasn't been released yet. You'll be the first to see it. All right? We're going to say goodbye to WBAI. You're going to your news, but we're going to continue right up to the top of the hour at prn.live. And by the way, just to let you know that our program director has almost 15 new programs, including the Whistleblower Hour, a brand new program with some of the greatest whistleblowers in the world coming on every week. And we have all types of new programs, one on gardening and detoxifying your home and office and yourself, etc. We have a lot of good stuff. So that's coming in the month of September. Now, we also haven't offered a special in the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to offer one now. And this is, and I don't come up with the specials. Our web designer and webmaster and our art director and our fulfillment center, Josh, all wonderful people, and they came up with this. Here it is. Cruciferous stuff. Bug Out, the herbal supplement, and the award-winning documentary Detoxification and Natural Approach, which everybody should be doing. The cost of this would be $197. The year cost is $99. It's 50% discount. Now, what's in cruciferous stuff? that your body could really benefit from, well, how about this? 370 grams per serving of potassium, apple fiber, cacao, spinach, apple pectin, beet juice, broccoli, kale, parsley, turmeric, carrots, watercress, celery, cabbage, collard greens, and Brussels sprouts. Now, you're not going to eat all those every day. You might eat one of those a week. But here, you eat them all at one time, minus they're washed, they're dried without high heat, so they're still living food. So you're getting the benefit of, minus all the water, which is about 97% gone, you're getting what really is important, in my opinion. So that's cruciferous stuff. Now, I don't make claims, I never make claims, but go up and Google and health benefits of cruciferous vegetables, health benefits of watercress, celery, cabbage, collard greens, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, kale, beets, apple pectin, turmeric. Thousands of studies are going to come up. Read the studies. That's what peer review, library medicine, PubMed has to say. I'm merely taking the best of the best, putting them together so you can have an opportunity to enhance your health and well-being. And what's in bug out? Well, everybody who eats out needs bug out. Everybody who doesn't wash their hands or handles food that other are eating food that other people have handled, you need bug out. Cayenne, cinchona bark, clove bud, cramp bark, elecampane root, fennel seed, garlic bulb, fresh black walnut green hulls, mullein leaf, pumpkin seed, quassia wood, thyme herb, wormwood, cinnamon bark, oregano leaf, and peppermint leaf. There's nothing like it. And this is in a vegetable glycerin deionized water base. You take drops of it. Okay, again, I will make no claims. Kind of, you're smart enough to know what bug out would be about. And plus then the documentary. Everything about detoxification is in there. All right? Step by step. It's 2 hours long. How do you get this package? A great package? Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065 or call Neil in the Vitamin Closet Monday to Saturday, noon to 8 at 646-926-5430. Now we're going to go out of our program today hearing two testimonials, just taken at random, of people who attended our health retreat, because we have one coming up in September. We only have three places left. Listen to what they experienced.
My name is Martha, and I attended Gary Noel's retreat for 1 week from April 19th to April 25th, and I had a wonderful experience. It really changed my life in a number of ways. I went down there expecting to learn about vegan food and just relax and lay around like you would in a resort, but I gained much, much more. We had a full day of activities in a wonderful environment with free animals going around freely. Fresh air, good water, excellent vegan food, and good camaraderie, and the staff was wonderful. I gained so much insight into how to correct things in my life. I'm not much of an exerciser, but I learned the importance of exercise. We had a personal trainer to teach us how to do power walking and use the exercisers in the gym, and how to breathe and build up our muscles. And the environment was also very spiritual. We had spaces for meditation, we had yoga and art and all of those things. The most important thing that I gained was I went down to the retreat with a breast tumor, and I didn't really expect anyone to do anything about that. I didn't tell anybody that I was coming with that. And I had the opportunity to have energy work done on me. And I noticed that after the energy work was done, that the tumor was reduced by at least half. Now, I know a lot of people would find that hard to believe, but I had decided that I did not want to have surgery, chemo, and radiation. And I was looking for holistic alternatives for my problem. And to my great surprise, I found it. And a lot of people will find that hard to believe, but I personally experienced seeing at least three other people that came to the retreat with similar circumstances as mine, tumors, and they also had the experience of having the tumors reduced by at least half or more overnight. That is unprecedented, and I am so grateful for the opportunity to have gone to the retreat because I was given new lifestyle changes that I will incorporate into some of the things I was already doing. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. And I would encourage anyone who, even if you're healthy, to just go down there and have the experience.
Okay. Again, these are unrehearsed. People at the last day on Friday are handed a telephone to our studio in New York and just say, just tell us what you experienced. Now, keep in mind, I don't speak with anyone before they get there. I don't know any of them. And I say in our orientation, I'm not here to treat or to diagnose any disease. This is all about wellness, and I stick with that. But the fact that some people have some rather remarkable changes occur, well, that's just one of the good side effects of living in the high energy level, and everything down there is positive energy exchange. So if you'd like to join us, again, don't call because, well, Luann, I want Gary to cure me of something. No, that's not the reason to come. That's not why I'm there. Not, but wonderful things have happened to thousands of people who've been to our retreats. And you have an opportunity to be in the right place at the right time with the right energy. And that just harmonizes everything in life. You'll understand more when we do our lectures on energy exchange. Call Luann at 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. We only have three places left, and that's 1 or 2 weeks in the middle of September. And it could be one of the most important vacations you've had in your life. Again, I don't promise anyone, I don't do diagnosing or treating of any disease while I'm there, but that does mean some remarkable things don't happen. Have a nice day, everyone.